This week, we're marking the centennial year of the Grand Canyon National Park. Yesterday, we talked about the geology of the canyon. Today, it's Native American history. The Havasupai tribe is one of 11 Native American tribes that are traditionally affiliated with the Grand Canyon, and they've been living in and around the canyon for many centuries before it ever became a national park. Joining us now from Supai Village is Ophelia Wadahamaji Corliss, who's a Havasupai tribal councilwoman. Ophelia, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, and just so people understand, Supai Village, you are right in the Grand Canyon right now as you speak to us.
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking out my window at these beautiful red towering walls and these lime mesa tops from the bottom of the Grand Canyon here. The ground that I walk on is pretty much river silt, so it's really beautiful and fantastic.
Now, the Havasupai tribe is the only Native American tribe that still lives below the rim of the Grand Canyon. Tell us a little bit about the history of the tribe there where you are in the canyon.
We are the only Native American tribe that lives below the rim of the Grand Canyon. You are correct. And the Havasupai have been here since time immemorial. Traditionally, we had two areas where we lived. Where we live now in Supai Village was our summer home. During the winter time, we lived in bands spread out on the south rim in the area now known as the Grand Canyon National Park. So we migrated between both areas, and down here where we currently live is great land to grow crops, and we would grow them down here through the spring and the summer. We would keep the overabundance and bring the rest of us up on the rim where we would live with our families and probably hunt just a couple deer every year. And predominantly we had a vegetarian diet, but when we had to go live on the south rim is when we would request help and thank our animal friends for helping us live through the winter time.
And when was that disrupted?
Well, there are some stories in some books where we did meet some Spanish conquistadors on the South Rim. And there's very little documentation. And I wouldn't call that the first disruption. I would say the first disruption is when the Fred Harvey Railway, everyone would remember it as the Grand Canyon Railway, and that group made their way to the south rim of the Grand Canyon, discovered the area, and by 1919 is when they had federally turned the area into Grand Canyon National Park.
But in 1880, there was a reservation that was set up, correct?
In 1880, they met then Chief Navajo, and that was when we had already been hearing stories from displaced nations who had been coming to the Grand Canyon to hide out, essentially. And we knew they were coming, and we heard the stories that they were coming. So when they got here, we pretty much just put our hands up and said, we'll do what you have to say. Please just let us stay here in our land. And they did. They turned down here, Supai Village, into a reservation. But it was very small. It was like 5 miles by 3 miles. And that original reservation didn't even include our world-famous waterfalls. That was later on given to Grand Canyon National Park.
So as we now reach the 100th anniversary of the Grand Canyon National Park, how does that feel to people in the Havasupai tribe?
I think if you were to talk to older individuals, that they would still have some resentment. The creation of Grand Canyon National Park were actually some of the darkest days for the Havasupai people. We lost a large area of our migration. When we were on the South Rims, that's when we would be in bands to be able to tell our origin stories. And that disruption is still felt amongst families today. But it would depend on the age and who you ask. The younger people that you would ask may not quite be aware of that history yet. But I can tell you that today, the partnerships with the Grand Canyon National Park, we've been working on them for a long time. And instead of resentment and anger, there are these ideas of partnership and collaboration. So we know that although this is the 100th year celebration for the national park, we've been here in this land, in that area, since time immemorial. And in fact, we still have a population of Havasupai tribal members who live inside the national park. They decided to stay, even through the long history of struggle with the national park and them trying to push us out of the area. They persevered, and they actually still live inside the national park today.
So what are the big issues for the Havasupai tribe today in 2019, where you are in the Grand Canyon?
The top of the list for issues impacting the Havasupai tribe today are uranium mining. The second would be being able to use and get back as much of our Aboriginal territories as possible. We also are working on establishing water rights, which includes getting into communication with either individuals or entities who have a well deep enough that pierces the Red Wall Muav Aquifer. And the Red Wall Muav Aquifer is what fuels the entirety of Havasupai Creek. That's our entire water source.
Now, your area, Supai Village, has become one of the big destinations for people who visit the Grand Canyon National Park. For our listeners, if they come and visit, what would you want them to know about the Havasupai tribe and the Grand Canyon and your relationship to it?
Well, I would want them to know that the Havasupai are the guardians of the Grand Canyon. We call ourselves the Havasubaja, the people of the blue-green water. I would have to mention that this land is sacred and this land has sustained life since the beginning of time, and that we've been trying to protect the land as our destiny, as our calling, as Havasupai people know and already feel that our hearts are buried beneath the land and our ancestors have been walking on this land before us, protecting it for us. So just to give resonance and thanks for being in the area. And as you would make your way to the rim and you park your cars and you get out and you look over the edge, you realize that the world is so grand and that when you look down into the bottom and you see these green cottonwood trees and you say, wow, there must be water down there. Maybe people used to live down there. Well, in fact, we did. What you will be viewing as Havasupai Garden was farmed by Havasupais. And just to remember that you're on Indian land. I know we share origin stories with many other nations who consider the Grand Canyon the birthplace of their people. But I really want the millions of tourists who come to the Grand Canyon to know that we still live inside the park and we still do our best to protect the area. And we're happy that the tourists are there. We're happy that they can share the view and the beauty and the magnificence of the area with us, and we've been protecting it this entire time.
That is Ophelia Wadahamidji Corliss, who is a Havasupai tribal councilwoman joining us from the Grand Canyon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And tomorrow our series continues. We'll talk with Jan Balsam, senior advisor to the superintendent at the Grand Canyon National Park, about tribal relations, climate change, and managing the millions of visitors that come to the park every year.